Taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and riding with me today is my homie, Patrick Irvin, and my homegirl, Tammy Houston Irvin, Texas, riding with us up in here on the Freedom Train Podcast series. Remember, the Freedom Train Podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can look around the website and learn as much as you want to about the organization. Also, click on the button that says the codes to learn more about the codes of conduct that PAX Inc. have created for the black community, and as well as check out the education section. I'm telling you, a whole lot of information in there that you and your family can go through and learn as much as you can about being black and loving your blackness. While you're online, make sure you visit the Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. We are a growing entity, and we have new things on the site all the time. Make sure you check out all of our shows. Our weekly lineup is Monday, you get the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train Podcast Series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. And then Thursdays, you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. And it's all going down the whole week right here on the Freedom Train Network. Oh, yeah, and Friday, you get the podcast of Professor Carl Tone Jones' Office Hours on the Google Play Store, iTunes, and Stitcher. See, I didn't forget that. See,
you forgot Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. I did forget that. Saturday, check out the On the Shows of Giants podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So, yeah, I did forget that. There you go. There you go. Hey, man.
And our show is probably going to drop on Friday.
What's your show? And tell them about your show.
Tea Time Black Women Talk. It's a group of us getting together to share perspectives of the black community from the black woman. And we're trying to stand alongside of our brothers to rebuild our nation.
And so you say the show is definitely dropping on Friday?
That's where we at.
Definitely. Ooh, shit was going down. It's going down. Y'all heard him right here on the Freedom Chain Podcast series. It's going down. So, oh, yeah, I ain't finished saying my stuff. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. So Twitter is FreedomTrain.net. Instagram is Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page. Subscribe to us on YouTube. And, you know, always subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And it goes down right here on the Freedom Train Network, where you get all this good. So I'll just get shows, all this good information, all this good energy for black folk. So, Pat, Pam, what are we talking about today?
Well, it's a social discussion. It's a social discussion. So, we figure we would talk about some social shit, right?
So, I hope so. Hey, man, I'm in the state of Florida. So, you know, one of the social things that happened not too long ago was the school shooting, the white boy who shot up the school. And that prompted us to want to talk more about the school shootings and the way that the media like to spin these school shootings, especially because it's white boys. And then we also want the second half of the show to, you know, kind of talk about Black History Month and the importance of Black history and, you know, kind of what it means to us individually. You know, kind of make sure that we don't let the month go out without us leaving our marks and leaving our statements about Black History Month. because we got to celebrate us 365 days out of the year. So, you know, we're gonna start talking about these school shootings. So, what was it about a week ago, right? Where the white boy shot up the school here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Nicholas.
I'm sorry.
Nicholas
go ahead,
Cruz. No, I was just finna say his name, Nicholas Cruz. So what do you know about it? What have you read about this so far?
Well, the boy was a part of a white supremacist group that I'm not even going to bother saying their name because they don't need their name said. But the group believes that Florida should be an independent Anglo-Saxon nation, which they believe Florida should be an independent white nation. And while they've disavowed Nicholas Cruz and said that he acted as a lone agent, pictures of their operations chart have come out, which clearly show that they intend to use lone agents, lone wolves, lone operatives as part of their operational strategy, which, you know,
right,
begs the question of, was he truly a lone agent, or was this part of their operation, and now they're using, you know, plausible deniability, which was something that was more than likely built into their model. But in any case, this young man apparently had been having problems with girls, was a social misfit, socially disturbed, so they say. The FBI was actually called about him weeks before he actually committed the shooting. There were numerous people reporting not only to the FBI but also to local law enforcement
about
this kid before he committed this shooting. In some kind of way, he still managed to slip through all the cracks and commit the shooting. Now, the FBI is saying they field all of the calls in the nation to one call center. They decided that instead of having your call be directed to a local field office, all calls will be fielded at a professionally staffed call center, I believe in Virginia. In Virginia. And what they're saying is, for some reason, the information, and it was allegedly very, very specific about this kid and what he wanted to do, but for some reason, that information never left the call center and made it to the Miami field offices. So they're trying to figure out what happened there. But I don't know. They are putting the spin on it that he was just some crazy white boy, depressed, blah, 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 blah. But if he took the time to plan this out and all this and all that, I don't know how crazy they want us to really believe he is.
I guess one of my things is, so far they've been 18 school shootings this year. It's only February 25th. But we know when white boys shoot up schools, or matter of fact, just period, when white boys get caught doing these mass shootings and things, the first thing they try to put out there is like mental instability. And that just pissed me off. Because, you know, a little black dude can get, like a 10-year-old black boy can get caught stealing and be treated as an adult, a social misfit, a criminal. This is a person who's a menace to society. These white boys intentionally plan to plot out the murder of you know, a good number of people, carry out that plot and plan, and then when it's all said and done, they have mental instability. And I'm like, man, they got, like, white supremacy got their shit together, but it's just straight bullshit. But also, like, my biggest thing is, because this is twofold, because now, you know, they had all the kids march to the Capitol. I'm here in Tallahassee, Florida, so all the kids marched up here to the Capitol. Now, luckily, everything I had to do that day, I missed that shit. Now, I'm not against people standing up and having their voice, but I am against, I hate to see those kids taking that march and coming up here to the Capitol and us knowing damn well that them adults don't really give a shit about them kids like that, knowing damn well that them adults really just having them kids exercise, that they're screaming and the kids are passionate. And I don't want them kids to be burnt out early when they really realize that the system is full of shit, that them adults don't really give a fuck about them, because these adults really just trying to make money off of all this stuff. And it's just, it's sad to see
And then it's like the white people get off with the mental instability. You got these kids marching for gun control. Then the whole gun control thing is not necessarily really going to happen like it needs to happen, because not a lot of people is going to, you know, show up for like it. I mean, because there's too much politics into it, too much industry, too much commerce, too much capitalism. And like at the end of the day, that's the stuff that kind of pisses me off about this whole thing, is the real solution is going to have to come when people stop being brought off. The real solution is going to have to come when truth to power can be put out. Because another question going to be have to be answered is, what's going on in these environments that these white boys in is causing all these little crazy white boys to look up to the point that they shoot up damn schools? And see, that's going to have a lot of people answering a lot of uncomfortable questions, in my opinion, when it comes to these school shootings, because these are things that we know don't have to happen. And then also the ease to buy guns. Like, you know, I know here in Tallahassee, we hear people talk about it all the time. Hey, man, just go to a gun show, you can get you a gun. And it's just, it's very simple. I do believe people should have the right to bear arms, but certain arms you don't need, and it shouldn't be easy to bear arms. But, I mean, this shit is so multi-layered and so fucked up from top to bottom. It just made me mad seeing all that energy that those young folk got, but knowing that it's wasted energy, but also on the back end, knowing that ain't nobody doing nothing to remedy the cultural situation and the normalization and socialization of these psychopaths. Though that's the angle I'm coming at this. Am I crazy?
No, you made a lot of good points, and if we go back, okay, so in terms of the number of school shootings, you're right, there have been 17 or 18 of them. Now we have to break that out too, because three of those shootings were accidental firings, accidental discharges. You can ask yourself, well, they shouldn't have had a gun in school premises anyway.
Right.
You had
I heard about
accidental
one of those.
Discharge. Seven of those involved no injuries or fatalities. And then, you know, the rest of them were the mass shootings that we think about when we think about mass shootings. So, you know, we have to break those numbers out. But even to that, you made a valid point, because a lot of us are asking, why aren't these shootings happening on school grounds? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are on black schools in the hood, schools that are predominantly
right.
black? And that, you know, that speaks to a lot of, because, you know, black kids are having the same issues that white
yes.
kids have.
Yes.
If not,
so what's so different?
Well, I think, for me personally, and granted I'm not an expert, but I think it has to do a lot in how we resolve conflicts and how we view conflicts. Like in the black community, if I got a beef with you, my beef is with you. It's not with
yeah.
the entire senior class. It's not
right.
with all the teachers and shit. And even if you're the kid that's getting picked on, because I spent a good amount of time being a dark-skinned black dude in schools getting picked on. I never had a beef with the entire school. My beef was specific
man,
to the people that was
man,
beefing
look
with
here.
Me.
Look here, in middle school alone, I used to go home, especially when people found out I was wearing Shaq shoes. See, but they, like, my house burnt down. A lot of people, they didn't know, but all they knew, I had Shaq shoes on. And so when they, man, I used to go home with my self-esteem in the mud. Every day. But it's like, but you're right, though. My beef is with, because, and not to trivialize the school shootings, but if Taquan got beef with Jaquan, Taquan going to bring the gun to school to shoot Jaquan. But if Heath got beef with...
Why can't
with
his name be Tyler?
Kyler. A black boy?
I'm just saying.
Nah, ain't no Kyler's, all right?
I said Tyler. Right. Tyler.
Nah. Kyler, Tyler, none of that, all
right? You're being real stereotypical right now.
you right. But still, like, the black dude's going, but like you said, the black dude's going to shoot the black dude. They're going to shoot the person that they mad at. And it'll be a shooting at school. The white dude's coming in there. The white boys coming in to spray up the school to kill as many people as possible. And it's something behind that that,
well,
to me, it's like a predatory mindset. It's like I have to get off on killing as many people so I can feel good about myself, something like that. Like they're trying to regain their power of control or something.
I think it is that. I think because you go back, like if we're going back to the black example, those black kids, like shooting isn't even the first option. We going to fight first.
Yeah, we got to put the hands on
it. Physical fist fight. If I'm bringing a gun to school, then either I'm a punk, a coward, and don't know black person, I don't care what age, we ain't at an age yet where being considered a punk or a coward is a good thing. So either I'm a punk or a coward, in which case I'm not going to showcase it, or you've been whooping my ass steady for a long time and I know I can't beat you.
Yeah.
Those are the only two examples I can see where a black kid would, and even like you said, even then, if I'm going to shoot somebody, it's going to be you. I think you get into, with white kids, you get into the sense of entitlement. You get into power and control dynamics, like you mentioned earlier. You get into a whole bunch of psychological issues that, in my opinion, all mostly revolve around some sort of entitlement complex or some sort of belief that you're powerless in a situation that you shouldn't be powerless in. Other people should be treating you differently than they are, and mass generalizations that would suggest that everybody that is not assisting me in this situation is complicit in my quote-unquote oppression. You get into all those things, and that was just a few that come to mind. But, you know, like I said, I think it all centers around, like, a massive entitlement complex that a lot of these white kids have. You apply pressure to that situation, and they crack. They don't know what to do with it. They're not equipped for it. They don't, you know, and nowadays with all of this anti-bullying this, anti-bullying that, and every time there is a school shooting, that builds up the next kid to be more comfortable with doing it.
Yeah.
You know, now
yeah.
you got people sitting in the classroom saying, don't pick on people because he might come to school and shoot the school up, not realizing that just by you saying that, you're encouraging that type of behavior from some nut job who's wondering how to get all of these people to stop messing with. I just think the whole system, the way it's set up from top to bottom for these white boys is broken. Black boys don't have the level of support and comfortability that is required to develop that sort of twisted sense of self, that sort of twisted world outlook. You know, and so in my opinion, that's what we beefing with. In terms of the kids coming to Tallahassee, you know, like that's another fucked up situation because the adults in the situation knew damn well that them kids weren't really going to be able to accomplish anything, especially not during an election year. Especially
now,
not during an election year. Yes, I'm repeating it. I'm on my Umar Johnson right now.
Now, what thing was passed while the kids was on their way up to
And I'm not familiar with the specifics of the legislation, but there was a legislation that was circulating through the Florida legislature to increase the difficulty with which people could be able to purchase guns.
And that
AR
was rejected,
assault rifles,
correct.
Assault weapons and things of that nature. So that was on the docket, and it got voted down while the kids were still on the bus en route to Tallahassee. And it's pretty clear those kids weren't going to be able to make much of a difference anyway. Florida is one of the most pro-gun states in the nation.
Bruh.
Period.
Look here. If I'm here in Tallahassee, when I tell you, what was that, Thursday?
Mm.
Wednesday or Thursday that those kids marched up here?
Yeah, they got on the bus. I think that was like Thursday or something like that, yeah.
Okay. Now, let me tell you what I was doing Thursday. I was doing outreach with about 10 FAMU students at the Tony Stone on Lake Bradford Road. When I tell you, this city didn't even feel the impact of those students.
No.
Because it was doomed from the beginning. And like I said, I'm not saying that in the sense of, that the kids was messing up. This has nothing to do with the kids. It's all the adults. We have to do our damn parts as adults to help these damn kids make sure that their voice is being heard, make sure that their energy is being used in the proper way. And if we ain't doing that shit, we ain't doing it but putting more disdain and discouragement in some of these kids who are going out here putting their shit on the line to try to make changes because they see that these adults ain't shit. And so they're talking about how I saw articles and things of how kids are arguing with Marco Rubio and all these things that they're talking about gun control. And no, these rich white dudes ain't giving up their guns. They ain't giving up these things. They're not giving up their ties, their allegiances and all these things. It's fucked up from the beginning, and that's horrible. And it's like the state of Florida, man. I mean, it don't like it. Growing up, I didn't know that Florida was considered one of the crazy states. Now that I'm a grown man and I realize that Florida is considered one of the crazy states, I see why. We full of crazy white people, man.
It ain't just the rich white men. It's the poor white people. It's the middle class white people. Like nobody wants to. And it's the black people that own guns too. Nobody wants to. And we, you know, like that's a whole nother discussion. We can get into that in terms of black gun ownership because I do think black people should own guns. But nobody wants to be responsible about the situation and look at it and say it is too. And like, I agree with you. The failure is on the adults because those adults at this point in time, we need to be teaching our kids how to fully and correctly and efficiently utilize the political process. You lobbying your political officials as a group of 30 or 40 or even 100 is not enough. You going up to their offices to do little sleep-ins and stuff, like, yeah, that's cute. It'll generate some media attention, but it ain't going to move the damn needle because at the end of the day, you got to understand, for people that are, and the problem with South Florida in particular is that the state is so long. So things that happen in South Florida, people in North Florida don't really give a shit about. And the seat of power is in North Florida. If this shooting had happened in Tallahassee, you might be gaining a little bit more traction. But this shit happened 8 hours away. 8 hours away. You can cross three or four states in 8 hours.
Now, the thing that did, let me say, tell you what did happen. Either, I think it was Thursday or Friday, somebody called Godby High School and threatened to shoot up. Well, I don't know if they called, but they threatened to shoot up Godby High School, some team, and that team was arrested. Don't know if that team was black or white. But that's not the first time a school has been threatened to be shot up here in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't moved the needle because remember you was there, you and Tammy was there. Remember when Columbine happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day somebody said that they was gonna shoot up Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talking about 2001.
I said I definitely remember that.
We're talking about 2001. This is 2018. And it still hasn't moved the needle to get anybody to do anything different other than, you know, incorporating active shooter drills. Like, you got to do more than incorporate goddamn active shooter drills.
But like, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick. Like, oh, shit. Go ahead. My bad.
I knew that was going to happen. Go ahead.
But it was just, I forgot where I was reading it. I think it was here in Florida. A lady was talking about how her daughter came home crying because of her shoes. And the lady was like, well, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your shoes? She was like, my shoes light up. She's like, okay, I know you want to light up shoes. I brought you light up. She's like, yeah, but if a school shooter come, he's going to be able to find me. Because, you know, they were going through active shooter drills and all these things here. And you have to be able to, like, what else is going to support these active shooter drills? Because you can't just be like, hey, well, we just waiting on the shooter to come in. Nah, we don't want no motherfucking shooter to come in.
Well, I think part of the problem with the political process is what you just illustrated. We do have to acknowledge that a lot of shooters get stopped before they actually do anything. And we have to understand that those instances actually work against those people who want gun control, because it gives the politicians on the other side the opportunity to say, if we can just do more of this, more of stopping the shootings before they happen, we don't need gun control and we don't need to tighten gun controls. We need to be doing more of this anyways. Gun control doesn't prevent school shootings. And then, you know, there's on the other side, there is a very powerful and valid argument which says that most of the school shootings and most of the shootings in general, the mass shootings in general that have happened, but especially the school shootings, the person that was doing the shooting was not legally in possession of the firearm. Right. And that is a powerful point to be had, but, you know, that goes into another discussion about resource officers on school. Me and Tam was talking about this. I definitely think there need to be more resource officers on the school premises, definitely. There needs to be psychologists, and I'm not talking about school psychologists. I'm talking about real psychologists. More of them need to be on campus analyzing these students. Police officers, FBI, field agents, they need to take these calls seriously when they get, because I do believe a lot of these school shooters were reported. And that's why I laugh every time I hear people talking about, you know, the little slogan going around talking about, if you see something, say something. And it's like, well, motherfuckers have been saying shit, and they still getting shot up. So, like, you know, like, that's a broken slogan. But, you know, with the gun thing, I don't even know that we're focusing on it the right way, because people keep saying, if I, you know, you can go to a gun show and just purchase a gun. And that's something, you know, we talked about in our little offline line chat. It's not that simple. Like, when you go to a gun show, you can purchase a gun without a background check if you're buying a private gun from a private citizen. If you're buying a gun from a certified weapons dealer, even at a gun show, they still have to do background checks. Now, to that, even if you say, okay, at a gun show, period, you have to do a background check, private purchase or not, what's to stop a person from still selling their gun privately, just not doing it at a gun show, just doing it out of their house? Instead of meeting me at the gun show, meet me at my crib. And I, you know, like, I'll hook you up still without doing a background check. So the gun show loophole is not really a gun show loophole. It's a private citizen loophole, and that's there so that people can exchange goods amongst each other without having to go through a lot of the bureaucratic paperwork and things. Now, if we want to eliminate that, then all right, whatever. You know, just be prepared for what comes out. But I don't know that that's necessarily the answer. I think, and then at the same time, you don't want to take, because I don't hunt, so I don't understand the pleasure and enjoyment these guys get from using an assault weapon to take down a deer or a buck or a rabbit. I don't understand that, so I'm not finna sit here and pretend like I do get it. But, you know, like, we gotta have a serious, we do need to have a serious conversation. If crazy motherfuckers can get access to guns to have 7 mass group murders on school campuses so far this year, and we still in February, then we need to sit down and have a talk about how these crazy motherfuckers keep getting access to weapons they shouldn't have access to. And that has to involve making it more difficult for people to get weapons. That's the only real solution. Yeah.
Now, one thing I do find interesting about this particular shooting is Cruz is 19, so mean his ass been graduated. Now, he graduated and came back to the school and shot it up. What type of punk shit is that? What type, like, that's loser written all over it. That's chronic masturbator written all over it. Like, you got to come back to the school after you graduated. You still mad? Now, you still mad at people for talking about you, picking on you? Like, that's classic counseling that's needed and things. And like you said, in this particular case, the FBI was was warned about this buddy. He was still giving, you know, the go after they supposedly looked into him and everything. But it's like, I mean, something else has to be done. Now, I think me as a black person, my thing is, if police got a gun, I want to have a right to have a gun. Because police and nobody ain't finna catch me without a gun, but it should not be easy for people to get guns. Like, you have to, it should be more expensive. I mean,
it's gonna be like drugs. I mean, shit, drugs are illegal. People get them all the time. I mean, I don't think you can solely address. I mean, should they buckle down? Yeah, but I don't think that buckling down is going to do a whole lot of good. It's the state of the people. It's the state of mind. It's really. I mean, like I said, it's just more so. It's the state of mind and the resources in the area. I think.
I do agree. You know, going back to what I was saying earlier, I do agree. Like, you got to do something about the crazy white boys. But at the same time, I would feel more comfortable if Dope Boy number 17 down the street didn't have either access to an AR-15 either, no more than crazy white boy. So that just means.
Where the conversation becomes interesting when you talk about access is in a lot of states, you can't get a handgun until you're 21. But you can get an assault weapon at 18.
Yeah.
And granted, you can't even buy a drink at 18 in no state. Yeah. So that, you know, like, so I can't, I'm not old enough to handle my liquor, but I'm old enough to handle everybody's lives around me. Like,
yeah.
That's broken. And you know,
we
could go down the list with how stupid.
It's all messed up. But see, I'm angry about, I'm angry about this, and more so for the kids, man. I just hate to see wasted energy in the youth because the adults fucking stuff up. But also at the same time, nobody's addressing these crazy white boys like Tammy just said. Like, what are we going to do about the crazy white boys? How are we handling crazy white boys? Because now we got to talk to white people's parents.
I mean, we have to, though, and I think a lot of this has to do with the way we're raising our kids. Everybody's raising their kid to think they special, to be entitled, and I know nobody wants to talk about that, but I do think that the way we're collectively raising our kids to be some punk-ass motherfuckers that can't stand any sort of pressure or strain, I think that has a lot to do with this. When you're in a positive environment and you being raised like that, you know, things don't work out too, you know, things could, they're not too bad. But when the situation goes negative and you've been raised to be massively entitled, you get a situation where you lash out at the world because you blame the world for the things that are happening to you. And so, you know, I agree with you, we get into the parents in that regard. I think we do need common sense gun control laws. I do think that, even though I'm 100% all day, it's a psychological issue. I do think, you know, like, and I know people are going to look at me, I say that I'm crazy for saying it, but I actually agree with the notion that, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people. I agree with that notion. Now, I also understand that guns make it extremely easy to kill people. I do understand that notion, and I need people to understand that. But nowadays, people are acting like they don't understand what people mean when they make basic phrases like that, you know, and it barricades the way to a real argument. And that's a Republican phrase. I understand that, and I still say I understand it and agree with it because it makes fucking sense.
I mean,
a gun by itself doesn't kill anybody.
It does make sense, but let's just be real. Most people not taking that statement into account because of what is, you know, the source of the statement. But I've always agreed with that statement that people kill people. And you can't give psychos access to guns. And so it's a two-way street because they're still not covering their ass because they're giving psychos access to guns. But nevertheless, why are psychos being created? What is it about this society that allows a psycho to be formulated, like to even exist. Like, why are there more school shootings in America than in a lot of these places that they lead us to think that are, you know, ultimately backwards? But our rates of everything fucked up is 10 times higher than all these other nations. And this, I think it's high time for us to hang up this weak-ass American dream and realize that America ain't the damn oasis it's, you know, depicted to be. Because, you know, even when Trump made this the statement about shithole countries, like I was watching this video this African dude from, well, this Nigerian dude made, and this in the video, the Nigerian dude was trying to say that Nigeria was a shithole, but everything that he named was wrong with Nigeria was wrong with this country, and more. But it's like, America ain't that lovely walk in the park place that people try to make it seem like to be. It's a fucked up place where psycho serial killers are able to be created over and over and over, just sitting around waiting on their chance to be infamous. And that's like, what the hell?
Well, I mean, I do agree with the notion that they call it the American dream for a reason. And I honestly think that, you know, I agree. I think several comedians have said it, but that's, you know, to believe it, you got to be asleep. But the questions you're asking are questions that are never going to get answered, because both sides are right to an extent, but neither side wants to admit that the other side is right. The liberals keep saying that the answer is gun control. It's like, for the question you ask, why is this happening in America at such an alarming rate, not only happening? They would say, well, it's because Americans allow kids to have guns. No, the guns are allowing the situation to happen. The guns aren't causing the situation to happen. The causation effect is in the mentality and the minds of the people that are doing these things, because there are a lot of violent crimes happening that don't have guns involved in them. So what's the and see, we can't get down to root causes, because people like to address symptoms, and that's because it's easy for somebody that doesn't own a gun to say, see, if you took all the guns away, then we wouldn't have these problems. Just like it's easy for a person who owns guns to say, you know, well, we need to address mental health, because if they fix mental health, then we wouldn't have gun issues. It's a lot more difficult for them to come to common grounds and say, okay, we need to make it more difficult to get guns, and we need to make mental health a priority. That is the common ground that we need to be at, but we can't be that way, because the liberals are standing firm in the sand in one way, the conservatives are standing firm in the sand the other way, and both of them are being arrogant cockfucks, if you ask me. I don't like either one of them when it comes to this issue of gun control. And to black people who would say that we need to get rid of all guns, I would say, you're out your fucking mind. I think every black family in America, let me change that. I don't think every black family in America. I think most competent, sane, logical, intelligent black people in America need a gun in their house. I do. I really, really do. I really, really, really do. And I say that with full understanding of what that means, because we've seen time and time again that by black people being responsible gun owners, they still put their lives in jeopardy. We've seen that in the cases of the cops out there in Texas and here in North Carolina, raiding people's houses and then shooting them when they found a gun in the house. We've seen cases where black people in cars have had guns legally registered to them in their cars and be shot for it. We've seen that. Even with all of those things, I still feel like black people need to own a gun. I feel like that, and that's a whole other show as to why. But I definitely feel black people need to get more involved in gun ownership. We need to take gun ownership seriously. We need to start teaching our kids at a young age how to be responsible around guns. We need to, you know, like, I really feel like as a people, we need to take our own self-defense and the defense of our neighborhoods more seriously. I'm not telling nobody to go wage war. I got to put that caveat out there. I'm not telling nobody to shoot police. Got to put that out there. But I do think black people need to have guns in their homes for self-defense purposes. And if you feel threatened outside of self-defense purposes, then you need a concealed weapon, a concealed carry permit so that you can do that. Because we've also seen cases where black people have been shot at, fired upon, and all these other things simply for being black out in the street by a nervous white person. If a nervous white person decide they want to shoot at me, I want something to shoot back.
Right. Right. Yeah, just because they having an extra white day. So, but, I mean, I agree with that.
Day.
I mean, you know, when you extra white on that day, you everything black. They don't even close their eyes them days. Everything black together.
But I was like, looking just to see if this was kind of out of the ordinary. What I've seen is that the height of school shootings has gone in waves. Like in 2006, there were like 11 school shootings. I know that's not 18. You said 18, right?
Well, it's that number is, that's the number of gun incidents. Put it like this, 18 is the number of gun incidents.
That's the number of gun incidents so far.
Yeah, at schools. Not necessarily shootings, but gun incidents.
There have been, I believe, 11 or 12 of them have actually been shootings on a school campus, intentional shootings on a school campus, because three of them were accidental discharges.
No, okay. 2013, the number appears to be high as well. But, I mean, I guess what's going on in the other countries, I mean, if we look at these things, or we should be paying attention to these things, because one can say we have a lot to learn from the other countries. They parents whoop their ass. Like, I put this comment out the other day. I saw this Asian mom walking across the street with her kid, and her kid made some type of sign or silly face at me, and she just whopped him across the head. And I was like, whoa, go mom. Like, I was so excited. And she was Asian. I was like, shit, that is so exciting. But, I mean, I'm saying all that to say, I think discipline is not spared from these kids in these other countries. Like, there's standards, there's expectations. You know, like they just have, they're stricter. Like, they're stricter than we are. We're very liberal as a nation with our kids. And I think that that's one thing. And I also think that, you know, as far as mental health awareness goes, when these kids do cry out, they're often ignored, you know. And so the question is, are things properly in place to recognize and move behind the kids that you notice are in need of help? You know, because a lot of the times, you know, they get waved off. And then the third thing, I mean, we keep talking about the parents and the kids and everything else. You know, I'm not completely familiar with the story, but we definitely must go back as far as, like, the FBI goes. And you know, you should have to start asking the questions. I mean, I know what it's like to deal with a call center, and it's definitely – especially during those high volume moments, you definitely have to get these calls out because they're important. You know, how do you drop a ball like that? Like, how do you have the information and don't utilize it? Like, that's unacceptable.
Well, I think that go back to what we were saying about the adults, though. Like, if this dude is being reported on, and you know, the FBI goes out, does investigations and things, and come back and deems this dude as the same person, as he's no threat and all these things. Like you said, people dropping the ball, but then even on that end, that's the people who's supposed to be keeping people safe dropping the ball. So it's like multi-layers of just fucked up.
But here's the kicker to that. Well, not the kicker, but to add on to that, there were multiple calls about this dude. So one call, they did send a team out to investigate, but there was a second call that actually had details and plans of what he wanted to do, where he wanted to do it, and potentially when he wanted to do it. That call with that information was never sent out. Now, we all understand the FBI fills thousands and thousands of calls every single day. So we understand their call volume, you know, the call volume is probably through the roof. But when you get multiple calls about the same individual, and one of the calls contains that type of detailed, specific information. I mean, it ain't no, and the director of the FBI, well, you know, they're running through directors right now. Trump is on some other shit with the FBI, but the current person in charge of the FBI right now, it has openly said that they dropped the ball and they're trying to figure out what they could have done. But to go back to your other point, Tam, I think I agree we need to be looking at these other countries to figure out what they got going on. But a lot of these countries have something that America just doesn't have by the fabric of how our country was built. And that's they're a collective group of one culture. You know, I was going to use a big word, but I decided that didn't, you know, it wasn't going to help me none. They're like, you look at Sweden. They don't have five or six different large culture groups trying to come together. You know, you look at like Poland, Britain would be close, but even Britain doesn't have the level of diversity that America has. And then you look at, not only does America have a level of diversity that is unseen anywhere else in the world because we're all immigrants, with the exception of some of the Hispanic population and the Latino population, but we're all immigrants. But there's also an extraordinarily high amount of bad blood between the immigrant groups. Like, we never really learned to live together. We learned how to tolerate each other for the time being. And so that plays a lot into the stress. And then you look at, like Joe mentioned earlier, the power dynamics of these white kids. Look, white people feel under attack. That's why a lot of these school shootings, when you look at the white dude that snapped, he's a lot of the times, I'm not going to say most, and I'm definitely not going to say all, but a lot of the times he's affiliated with a white supremacist group. That says a lot about the mind state and the mentality of these boys and them feeling under attack and threatened in a country that they feel is theirs by these other groups. That narrative in and of itself is something that is simply just not present in other nations. When the UK started getting a little bit too white, you know, you started seeing them basically having the Trump effect. What nationalization is popping up all over Europe because the white populations in those countries are looking around and they like, hold on, our country ain't white like it used to be. We need to fix this. So now everybody's having these immigration discussions. Everybody's having, which the immigration discussion in America is interesting because every time Trump mentions that visa lottery, the where they just randomly select people, I believe 20 or 40% of those people that get into the country through those lotteries are from African nations, from black countries. So when they're talking about immigration, we don't need to even be looking at it from terms of purely a Hispanic Latino issue. They're trying to keep black people out as well. And that goes back to the shithole comment, but I know that's kind of off subject, but I just wanted to drive home that point that we can learn from those countries, but we have to accept the fact that those countries are a lot more homogeneous than we are. They're a lot less diverse than we are in terms of their culture, their heritage, and as a result of that, their history of intermingling with each other. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah, I get that. I get that because they see themselves more as one than we do. We, the Americans over here, see themselves more as isolation groups, except for when they are allowed or when they get the chance to mingle with others who share the same racial ethnic makeup as they do. Then they click together. So, I mean, I do get that because it's more of an individualistic thing because this American thing is more so of this melting pot that's supposed to be of all these people from all these different places. So it's either you buying into the American thing or you're not. So I get that.
Well, I do feel what you're saying, Tom, and I do agree with you. I didn't say all that to shit on your point. I was just trying to make, you know, present another way that we have to look at it when we analyze these other countries. But I do agree with you. We should be analyzing these other countries, and I agree with you. We need to be Well, we don't need to be asking the FBI no questions because we know what happens when we ask them questions. But somebody needs to be asking their asses some questions.
What?
I mean, yeah. I don't think you were shitting on my point, but and just an update. I've just been going through this document. There were 37 school shootings in 2014. So we're not too far off, but. I do want to draw attention to the point that we need to be careful, and this is for the Black conscious community. We need to be careful how we wake people up, because if he was 19 and he was getting woke up enough to be angry and feel all of this and feel all of that, look at what happens. And so I'm always telling people, when you wake people up, you want to be careful with how you wake them up, because if the first emotion typically is anger. And if you don't coddle that anger, then things like this happen. So, you know, just a note to the community. When you're trying to wake everybody up, you know, you gotta be gentle with that, because when you wake people up and they're not mature enough to handle the content or the information, then things like this happen. It just hasn't been one of us. But I'm just saying, you know, it's just a message to the wise. You know, learn from other people's mistakes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because like even, and I talked about this in the on the fix. As a former NFL player, Mike, what's his name? What's the dude's name? Oh, Jonathan Martin. Yeah, former NFL lineman Jonathan Martin was arrested. He tweeted a picture of a shotgun with the shotgun shells, basically saying that people who were bullied in high school, or people who were bullied, period, have two choices: to either cower or strike out in revenge. And he tagged two NFL players, Mike Pouncey and Richard Incognito. And these were the two dudes who bullied him in high school, and he also hashtagged his former high school. So he was arrested and the high school was shut down for the day. And so this school shooting thing is, I feel like it's becoming a fad, a mark of a way to get into infamy for the ones who are really disturbed and are not getting help, because
right.
All of us are, you know, all of us are saying truth. Like it's not being addressed properly, basically. And we can stand and learn from these other. You got other nations who ain't had school shootings in 10 years, who haven't had mass shootings or shootings, period. I've been seeing things of countries who haven't had shootings, period, in years. We need to get our stuff together.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point in terms of the infamy, because we all know it's two ways to get famous. You do something really good or you do something really bad, and the bar for doing something really bad is extremely low. It don't take much in terms of doing something negative to get your name out there. I mean, you damn near got to save the planet. You know, you got to damn near bring back dinosaurs to get known for doing something positive. But all you got to do is shoot your brother in the face to become known and immortalized forever for doing something negative. So that's a dynamic that, you know, and that's a lot, that's largely the media. And I understand why people are that way. Generally speaking, your brain pays more attention to negative things than positive things, because your drive is to survive and negative things are more likely to kill you. So I understand the psychology of why we are that way. But if we are supposed to be these higher beings, then at some point we need to be able to override, you know, our basic instincts to move forward to something positive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't see that as a valid excuse, and I do think that that is a good point to mention, that I think it has been mentioned in terms of shootings, but not really been looked at in terms of the schools. But then again, you know, I'm also against, and people are going to look at me crazy, but I'm against this whole anti-bullying movement. You know, I think bullies serve a purpose. I really do. I would not be able to tolerate a lot of the abuses I've been able to tolerate as an adult if I did not get picked on at school. And if you can't deal with somebody picking on you at school, and I'm not talking about putting their hands on you. Now, if anybody is physically fucking a kid up every day, that's a whole separate discussion. But if kids are just being mean, they just picking on you, this, that, and the third, and you can't deal with that, you're not equipped for adult life. You're not. So I'm against this whole anti-bullying movement. I think the whole cyberbullying thing is stupid because there is nothing you can do to me over the internet that's going to disturb me, period. You can't. So I think that's stupid, and I think all of those play a role too because, like I said earlier, these kids is so soft nowadays, man. It don't take it like all of these dudes is having problems with their girl. I understand having, you know, you 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, your girl break up with you, you feel sad.
They're not experiencing nothing new.
You know, like, that's really nothing new, but to push you to the point where you actually kill 17 people, you shoot up 30-something people, like, how weak are you really? She should have broke up with you because you're not strong enough to be in a relationship. And we're producing these kinds of weak people in mass, and in my opinion, tell me if I'm wrong, all this anti-bullying crap just spurs that on. No, we need bullies. Bullies are a vital part of everybody's social development. Vital. They're mandatory. It's necessary. Assholes serve an important part in keeping a society functional. And I'm not an asshole, but I definitely see their value.
Man, look at it. But we see bullying different because when we grew up, what they consider bullying, what we consider just every day going to school, they consider bullying now. Because I do agree, things are a lot softer now. Society's a lot softer. These kids are a lot softer. I do agree that a lot of these things, they don't, like, they just can't handle. But like you said, there is a line to draw, and you shouldn't be. A kid shouldn't be constantly just overtly fucked with on a regular basis. Now, that should not happen. But a lot of the stuff that they go through, like it's different now. It's real different. And I think that goes into, like, just different parenting, different way of socializing. Like, the way people socialize with each other is just messed up. But we can't – but not to beat this subject down too long, because we did say we want to talk about Black history as well, so we want to kind of make a U-turn and switch our subjects a bit. But we do feel strongly about gun control. We do feel strongly about the society that creates these psychopath killers, and we do see that something real needs to be done, because we got kids out here marching to make a difference while these adults are already fucking stuff up. But
well, I guess we could have a part two of gun control specific, because this is more about school shootings. When Jay comes back, I know he's pretty excited about the gun control topic, and that's why I was kind of trying to keep it in the realm of the shooting and not stray too much into gun control, because he seemed to be pretty excited about that topic, and he ain't able to be with us tonight because of some real world issues.
It's all good. So, since it is still Black History Month, we want to make sure here at Freedom Train that we talk about Black History Month and, you know, kind of what it means to us and
I don't believe you, Joe.
Why we should celebrate. You don't believe me, what?
I don't believe it's still Black History Month.
Why not? Because all the award shows.
It's the 25th. We got 3 days left to go. I don't believe. Black History Month ended, last Monday, the 19th? Yeah, that's about right.
Before the Black Panther movie? Or before the Super Bowl?
Or before the
All-Star game?
Before the Super Bowl.
Or before the Grammys?
The end of Black History Month.
Before the Grammys or what? I mean...
Nah, it's before the Super Bowl. I give it the Super Bowl, because the Grammys, a lot of black people still be black around Grammy time. The Super Bowl, I'm not even sure when the Grammys is. That's sure how often I watch it. But I'm positive that Black History Month starts to lose its steam around the Super Bowl, which the Super Bowl is like the first part of the month, ain't it?
Yeah, it's in the first. Yeah, it's the first weekend.
Oh, well, damn. Then I'm only giving us a week. So, but fuck it, that's what it is.
So let's talk about us specifically. So I start with you, Tammy. What does, like, how do you feel about Black History Month? Does it still hold the same importance to you? And if so, why?
It definitely still holds the same importance to me as it did coming up as a kid. I remember when we first moved to North Carolina and we found out that they weren't having Black History Month, we kind of, like, had a fit and did some pushback where one of our kids wrote a project and we sent them in with a Black History Project because here they're making it, like, multicultural. It's up to the teachers to decide whether they're going to continue to talk about Black History Month, which I think is kind of crazy because
it just went out.
Yeah. Hello.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Say that again. Say that. You went out. We couldn't really hear the second
part. I was saying, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying I definitely agree with Black History Month because I just think it's important. It's a self-identity thing. It draws attention, although we should be aware of who we are 365 days of the year, and I can assure you that I know who I am. I think it's important for our children to see it as they're coming up in schools to be celebrated as we celebrate the rest of the United States of America's culture without us. Throughout their school year, when we first got here, we found out that they weren't doing Black History Month here, and they had left it to the discretion of the teachers. So it's now like a multicultural month here, and it's even up to the teachers whether they decide to.
That's bullshit.
You know, right? I agree, and so we gave some pushback, and we sent our kids to school with projects. With reports, like they had to write a report on somebody. So not only did they write a report on that person, but they also wrote a report on a Black individual that they were inspired by. So I definitely think it's important, again, for the kids to see the figures. I guess that's what everybody's hopping on as far as Black Panther is concerned, for the kids to see the figures. But again, Black History Month is important. Harriet Tubman is my girl. I'm happy to see she's being shouted out and celebrated so much as of late. I did a poem on her in school in the fourth grade, won the talent show contest. I did, man. That poem started out, Harriet Tubman ain't take no stuff. She wasn't scared of nothing neither. Ain't coming this world to be no slave and wasn't going to stay one either. So
that was it. That's the whole poem.
Yeah, man. Man, hey. No, that wasn't the whole poem. I didn't know if y'all was ready for the whole poem. I didn't want to break out into full character.
Business style, it's Black History Month.
Okay. You ready? I don't know if I remember everything. This is fourth grade now.
All right, we want to hit.
All right, it started. Harriet Tubman didn't take no stuff, wasn't scared of nothing either. Didn't come in this world to be no slave and wasn't going to stay one either. 19 times she went back south to get 300 others. 19 times she ran for her freedom to save Black sisters and brothers. She ran through the woods and she ran through the woods, I know it's not that, with the slave catchers right behind her, but she kept going on until she got to the north so those mean men couldn't find her. And then it starts over. Harriet Tubman didn't take no stuff. She wasn't scared of nothing neither. Didn't come in this world to be no slave. That's how I said it back then. And wasn't gonna stay one either.
Hey.
And didn't stay one either. Woo! Look at you. You was ready with a round of applause. Yeah.
Hey.
Man, I won the contest. I won the contest.
There you go.
I won the talent show.
That's what's
up. Anyway, so I mean, y'all brought a smile on my face. I appreciate you letting me share that, even though I messed up a few of the words. But
it's fourth grade.
I mean, it was just what'd you say?
I say it's fourth grade. I'm surprised you remember that much.
Man, I'm telling you, that was my girl. I did a report on her, the talent show. I mean, so if I don't know anybody else, I know Harriet Tubman. But I mean, I just think, again, like I said, you brought a smile to my face. So that's just fond memories of recognizing. And that probably was my first encounter with blackness. You know, I always talk about how I grew up white, typically the token black girl amongst my peers. So that was my probably first identity outside of family with black history. And it surrounded, you know, Black History Month. So I can appreciate that.
I just want to let you know you ain't no token to us, okay?
Amen.
God damn it. So, Pat,
I was surrounded. I didn't know I was black till high school.
Well, we damn sure reminded your ass.
Right.
Went to the right school to learn to remember. The problem is you learned about niggas before you learned about black folk. That's the problem. That's one of the problems, though. Because you went.
Was the problem?
You learned about niggas before you learned about black folk.
That's real talk.
Yeah.
That's probably the realest thing we've ever said on this show.
That I was liked by who?
No, you learned about niggas because you went to school with us, and you went to Rickles.
Oh,
you went to school with a whole bunch of niggas, and then you learned about black people.
Right. whatever, man.
No, and it's funny, but it's true on a bunch of levels, and a bunch of black people have that as, you know, like they learn about niggas, as Joe put it, before they learn about black people, and then they associate niggas with black folk. That's an incorrect association. We expect that from white people. We don't expect that from black people.
Right. So Pat, what does Black History Month mean to you, and do you still celebrate it, and does it still kind of hold value to you?
It still holds value to me, but I don't celebrate it. You know, and it's cliche, but it's true for me. I celebrate Black History year-round, but the day still holds value to me because this is the day that we designated. Dr. Carter G. Woodson made this day. This is not a day that they gave to us, as you pointed out in one of the shows earlier. Me personally, not only is it a day that or a month that we gave to ourselves, it started and became a month, but also it's significant, and the reason why I feel like it's important outside of that is because kids in the public school system, until we develop our own school systems and start educating our own kids, are being brought up in a school system that does not recognize them or their history, either
right,
as individuals or a part of a cultural collective. So it is extremely significant that we maintain the integrity of this month. For those kids, 80% of black kids go to school in the public school system. The public school system in almost every community in America is run by a bunch of white people that don't know and don't care a shit and don't give a shit about black people, being black or understanding what it means to be black as a group. I'm not saying there aren't some individuals, but as a group, they don't give a shit. So with that being said, this month is the only month that a lot of kids get to learn about themselves. And I know we can argue about how frustrated we are today only learning about the big three, and that's cool, but at least they're learning something instead of growing up ignorant. Even if it is slanted, it gives us something to build on. And you know, so you have to respect the month for what it is and for what it's still doing. So even if, you know, even though I don't celebrate it, because I celebrate myself 365 and 66 every 4 years, and there's no need, in my opinion, to highlight February, I still recognize the importance of it, and I still cherish February for what it is and what it does and what it's become. And to that, I want to say to all those teachers out there who are we don't want to cover the big three. PAX Inc. has a Black History curriculum that you can contact us through the website, www.paxinc.org, and you can get access to that curriculum, and that way you can teach your kids more than the big three.
There you go. To me, I do celebrate Black History Month, even though I still celebrate Black History 365. To me, I look at it like this. Black History Month is our recharging month. It's the month that we use to recharge our batteries so we can go through the rest of the year. celebrating ourselves and our blackness rather than, you know, just trying to only celebrate it in February, because I just don't think that we should only relegate ourselves. Like, why should we relegate ourselves to just celebrating ourselves in 1 month rather than understanding the global contributions? But once again, that goes to us as adults learning more, even building off what we were talking about, the debate Jamie and I had last week. You know, still think that it's up to adults to go find the information so we can hand it down to the kids, not just sitting there waiting on things to fall in our lap, because there's a lot of resources out for people to learn about Black History Month. So as Patrick just told you, PaxInc.org, On the Shoulders of Giants, www.ontheshouldersone.com. If you're talking YouTube, Home Team History, The Great Griot, Black Liberation University, the Jupiter Strong. Man, it's tons of information. There's a series called Tell Me Who I Am. That's a great series for young black kids to learn from. To me, it's like Pat said earlier, Dr. Carter G. Woodson created this for us. White people didn't give us Black History Month. Dr. Carter G. Woodson created Black History Week, which expanded to Black History Month for us to celebrate ourselves, for us to learn about ourselves. And he did it because he recognized that white people weren't going to celebrate us. So we created it for ourselves so we could celebrate us. Now, some people who have a problem with the idea and the notion of Black History Month, where other people don't have it, where other people have never had their history just like totally just disregarded in the same manner as we as African people have in this country. So it's like understanding the significance and the why behind Black History Month, but also understanding that if you're a person who's a 365 celebrator, shout out to you. If you're not, it's never too late to be. But being a 365 celebrator don't make you blacker than anybody else either, and I do want people to understand that. And that's not saying that anybody said they was or wasn't, but I'm just making that statement just in case anybody kind of thought it. That don't make you any blacker or a better black person than anybody else. That just means that you may spend more time researching or you're more comfortable or a little more advanced in your blackness, but that don't make you a better black person. You just, you know, like your blackness a little more. Because, hell, it don't matter if you still celebrate yourself 365. If you ain't doing nothing to make the black community better, then, you know, you're just a cheerleader. We need more than cheerleaders right now. So, like I say, Black History Month is a recharging month for us to really celebrate ourselves, but then go out into the rest of the year still celebrating ourselves, because being black is a beautiful thing. Our history and our heritage is the history and the heritage of the world. And we call it Black History because our history and our heritage has been neglected for so long. But trust and believe, it is the history and the heritage of the world. That's how I feel about black.
I want to highlight something you said, because I do get tired of this argument every year. And every year I'm going to make this statement until we get it through our thick heads. Well, two statements, really. One, who gives a shit what other people got going on? Like, I really feel like that's one of our problems. We so focused on everybody else that we not focusing on us. Who cares if don't nobody else have to do it? You know, we have to do it. Our situation is unique. Our situation is special. And, like, why are you mad that we celebrate ourselves? That doesn't make any sense to me.
The other thing is
those people that say, well, other people don't have a month. Why do they have one? That shows the level of ignorance present. And I don't use ignorance in a negative way in this time at right now. I'm just talking about simply not knowing. Look, October is Jewish History Month. May or March is Irish History Month. I believe May is Italian History Month. One of those months is Women's History Month. Yeah. Like, it, you know, I believe September is Hispanic History Month. Like, so I believe November is Native American History Month. So this notion that black people are the only people with a month is erroneous. It's false. There's even a Women's History Month. I believe June or July is Gay History Month. So, gay and lesbian, pride or history or something or another. Anyways, the point is, it's not true on either front. White people didn't give us this day. Yes, they did fill it up with stuff because the Grammys, Super Bowl, and all that other stuff came later. So, yes, they did do that. But they didn't give us this month. We gave it to ourselves. It doesn't matter whether or not other people have Heritage Months because that doesn't have anything to do with us. And, yes, in fact, they do have Heritage Months for everybody else except for British white people. And on the months that don't have any designation on them, we celebrate British white people history. And even during most of the months that do have heritage designations appointed to them, we still celebrate British white people history. So I just wish we would stop with that whole, you know, that this whole thing of, well, don't nobody else got a month. Yes. And I expect white people to say that, but it gets doubly frustrating when black people say it.
Yeah. I mean, well, to me, that's just black people trying to, those are black people who have gotten used to playing the role of the white pacifist to make sure that they make white people feel comfortable. So, you know, but all in all, man, we just want to make sure that we, you know, have a good conversation about the school shootings, because we did want to cover that and also give our takes and our piece and our thoughts about Black History Month, because as black people, it's important that we celebrate ourselves no matter what, unapologetically, and we have to do it without the permission of others, because we don't need nobody else's permission to celebrate us, just like nobody needs our permission to celebrate them. So any parting shots, Tammy, Pat, any parting shots? I guess not. Hey, man, I'm Joseph. He's Patrick.
We good over here, man. Check out Tea Time.
Oh, yeah. When you dropping again? When you dropping again?
Friday, man. Friday.
Friday going down. So y'all make sure y'all look out for Tea Time, Black Women Talk, coming down Friday. Hey, I'm Joseph. He's Patrick. She's Tam. This is the Freedom Train Network.
Hold on,
Joe. What's up?
You said at the end of your last show on The Fix that you was going to be gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I did. I couldn't. Well, I explained stuff on The Fix, so when they listen to it, they'll see what's going on.
I'm just saying, like, you know, we got an audience here. Maybe they ain't heard The Last Fix. Maybe they're going to be looking out for The Fix tomorrow, you know.
Oh, well, there will be a Fix episode tomorrow, though. There actually will be. So, you know, so stay tuned for that. If you all my Fix fans, stay tuned. I know I did say that I'm taking a 3-week break for the season finale, but I actually did a bonus episode because some things happened that I want to talk about. So there's a bonus episode of The Fix coming out tomorrow. So y'all make sure y'all, or Monday rather, so y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for that. So, yeah. So two fingers in the air, and like Hustle Man say, pick up the pieces. We out.
Thank you.